And there is a tremendous quest all over the world. It's a quest for beating death, gaining immortality. There's a quest spiritually. There's a quest in technology. There's a quest, well, maybe in your heart right now, too. In listening today in this, listen, 1 hour where I believe God will have his hand and it will be providential. It may involve life and death. It may involve the reality of immortality for you if you don't already have it. That's where the difference comes in when it comes to Ray Kurzweil and the book The Singularity Is Near. As I read more and more of Ray, I am concerned for the man. And I'm going to bring that out here today. The Tower of Babel in the Old Testament. The Tower of Babel in the Old Testament, it is, simply the quest. It has everything to do with, eliminating God from the picture, eliminating the will of God, and literally constructing a tower, a man-made development, reaching into the heavens. Why? Is it to escape the flood? Is it similar to the quest of Armageddon? Does it have anything to do with ridding the world of God? Now, God's not in the equation in the development of the Tower of Babel. As a matter of fact, it's not only that God isn't in the equation. God's kicked out of the picture altogether. And I'm going to say today that in this evolution of knowledge, evolution of, the concept of an evolutionary universe, and the coming evolution of man, as some say, all has in it the kicking God to the door and constructing a different salvation. It's the quest. Not just to become God, it's the quest to remove God from the equation altogether. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. We're going to touch on the quest to rebuild the Tower of Babel, mankind's, they say it was based on pride. I think it was more than that. I think it had everything to do with, let's build something that will keep God from ever destroying the earth again. Let's keep God. Listen, can I ask you, do you keep God out of the equation of your life? Because, listen, of all the listeners, I've had atheists write me. There are those that are questing and looking for God, listening. Whether they're in Boulder City, Nevada, whether across the North and South American continents satellite, internet radio all over the world in the archives. As you listen, there's without question a belief in my heart that there is the providence of God, that there will be a supernatural interaction. Can I ask you a question? Are they constructing a technological and scientific tower of Babel? Is this what Ray Kurzweil is doing? Is this what the new documentary, the film Transcendent Man is all about? It's going to be being played everywhere. I've had friends write to me and say, let's go see it. But it's more than a film. It's more than just someone's science and someone's technology. It is somebody's quest. It is somebody's quest to be able to, beat death, beat. Let me read an Associated Press title. Here's what it says, never say die. Now, I don't know about you, if you've had anybody that you know and love die, if you know anyone that has died, if you've been next to the casket, there's the dead body. If you've seen dead soldiers, or if you've been involved in something where somebody dies. I mean, death is a big thing for all of us, and the older we get, there are those, and as I visit my mother, I even talked to her one day. What are you doing? Well, she's thinking about dying. 78 years old, a lot of pain in her life, can't see too good, can't get out at times. When I was down there, as she was in the hospital, they told me she was going to die. And so driving down there, I'm with her hour by hour listening to her. She wants to die. The pain is too much. She's lived, 78 years. She wants to go home. She has no fear of that. She's sick of the pain, sick of, as she puts it, what is the value of her life at 78? She says, I can't see. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. I'm useless. That's the pain coming from some depression. A lot of limitations as we are growing older. A lot of those dear seniors are watching the OBs in the newspaper. Who do they know that has died? Who's gone? And then there's all of this history of memory. So let me just point to this Associated Press article. It begins by saying, and the title is, Never Say Die, Live Forever. Ray Kurzweil, I'm quoting now, doesn't tailgate. A man who plans to live forever doesn't take chances with his health on the highway or anywhere else. Did you catch it? I'll quote it again. I'm going to slow it down. A man who plans to live forever. Now, please understand, and again, depending on your interest in topics, we're talking about somebody that is influencing hundreds of thousands, if not millions, that the quest to escape death is a reality. Fountain of Youth. How about cryonics? How about downloading your consciousness into the computer system, World Wide Web? What about reincarnation? What about those who just say, well, when we die, to eliminate the psychological impact of death, of non-existence? Now, this is where I look at a number of people. I'm reading today and listening to a documentary, Einstein. There's one guy that I'm just loving to, grasp his personal life. And then there's Stephen Hawking. And then there's Richard Dawkins. And now there's Ray Kurzweil. And all these guys, taking a look at what they confess, taking a look at what they say, they don't say what Isaiah says. They don't say what Paul, the apostle, says. I mean, when you read the Psalms sometime, I mean, the 150 chapters you're reading, as those who are in fellowship with God speak about the knowledge of God, the depth of God, the omniscience, omnipresence, they talk about God and they talk about relationship. But in those that I just mentioned, none talks in those terms. So I'm going to ask you to think through the quest, as many do have, and then maybe you have parents, maybe you have grandparents, maybe you are taking care of somebody, maybe you know someone that is near death's door. What do you think about when you know you're near death's door? What do you think about as a soldier, a bullet in your chest, you're lying there near death's door? Gangster kid in the middle of downtown, shot, left in the street, mama's at home, no one's around. Your colors mean nothing, you're dying. You can snort all the cocaine you want and have all the popularity you want. You can get all the paparazzi to take all the pictures you want. But if you OD and you're lying there, if all of the rock and all of the drugs and all of the partying, Kurt Cobain, isn't enough. I mean, for some, suicide is is an escape from the pain, and that pain can be psychological. It could be in your brain. It could be in your emotions, let alone in your physical body. There are those that would love to, in the midst of their death sentence, that they know they have you know, 3 months to live and 5 months to live, and they got so much pain and everything else, well, then they just want Kevorkian to come on by and help them get out of this world. Death is a big subject. It really is. And it would seem that a futurologist, a scientist and inventor, Ray Kurzweil, with the new film, Transcendent Man, where there is this overwhelming quest, not just by him, but it's across the board. Biologists, technicians and scientists, those in the fields of artificial intelligence, those in the field of, well, geneticists, and the quest to keep us going. What if you could live 150 years? Take some more vitamins, take some more pills, get a little shot here or there, a little, well, that's kind of what we're doing right now. I'm reading this article again, Ray Kurzweil, the man that has the passion to beat death, the man that has the passion to escape death. Everyone listening right now, there is a due date. It is destined. Have you read this in Hebrews chapter 9? Listen, friends in Russia, to the Chinese, by the way, the Chinese leader is here in the United States today. Again, welcome to those in China that's been downloading and listening. Welcome to those in Russia. Welcome to those, well, on a little tiny island off the east side of South Africa. We're thinking about you, praying about you, and for you. For those friends that have just sent me a letter that are down by the, or have been down by the Mayan temples. For all of you that have been downloading, listening, writing, friends on Facebook, let me just say this, that in the equation of my life, in the equation of what I bring to you, in the equation of this discussion, the central issue is God, life, the impact of salvation, the impact of the physics of God, that I want to say this, are infinitely beyond the greatest of learning of humanity. I quote again, listen to this. Listen to the quest and see if you get a picture. Because to me, this rings of the Tower of Babel, the concept of escaping judgment, escaping, you know, living again without God in the equation of life in any aspect. And this is astounding to me, a man that is now 60. I'm reading articles of his when he was 56. I'm reading books of his. I'm downloading Kindles and trying to get into the head, and if Ray ever listens, into the life and the head and the mind of Ray Kurzweil, multimillionaire, scientist, inventor, futurist. I quote from the Associated Press article, quote, as part of his daily routine, Kurzweil ingests 250 supplements, vitamins, 8 to 10 glasses of alkaline water, and 10 cups of green tea. Wow, I just had some green tea here with some dark honey. Green tea and dark honey. Kurzweil would be happy with me, would he not? I go down a little further when he's 56 years old. Kurzweil's paying close attention to his fitness. Nothing wrong with that. That's a great thing. In the one book, Fantastic Voyage, Live Long Enough to Live Forever. Listen, this is to me the epitome, the drive, what drives Kurzweil, what drives some to move in the direction of the evolution of knowledge. Live long enough to live forever. Have you stopped to think and equate what that really means? Here in this world, in the body you have right now, if you could take a chill pill and just keep on living, and every time you got sick, another chill pill, another fix, another, how about, what would we call it, the eye pill, the immortality pill, Yeah, the iPill, like the iPad, the iPhone. The iPill. All we needed to do was take the iPill. I mean, Kurzweil's taking 250 supplements. He does believe that we can get these little cell-sized robots called nanobots. They'll keep swarming through the body, repairing bones and muscles and arteries, the very thing that the injection of this, we'll call it a virus, whatever you want to call it, something's inside of us, death. It's a code. It's an operative code. Mankind for thousands of years can't get out of it. We keep dying. It's in the genetics. Something about the genetics. We cannot fix that part of our genetic code that would constantly repair and repair and repair. It seems to be wearing out, and we don't have anything to fix it. So nanobots. Is that what we're going to do? A bunch of nanobots just to place into our body, and those little nanobots, well, let's call it the eye pill, the eye fix. The title or the subtitle of the book, Fantastic Voyage, Live Long Enough to Live Forever. Now, I'm not saying that you and I don't want to live. I don't want to die tomorrow because I've got a lot of things to do. Got a wife, got a child, got a daughter that might get married in a couple of years. I don't know. A lot of things I'd be like, you know, I'd like to be around for. But on the other hand, if Christ came back today, I sure will not complain. You see, in the equation of Einstein, Stephen Hawking, the sad equation of Richard Dawkins, and now Ray Kurzweil, there is an absence. The God factor is not animated into their thinking, permeating into their mental, emotional knowing. They don't know God. No confession of it. No experience of it. No joy of God. No word of God. No will of God. No delight. No worship. No God. And so man left by himself in a fallen world where people die, people kill, wars go on, all kinds of crazy things occur. You know, shooters shoot people. Somebody wrote me yesterday about what shooter I was talking about yesterday. I was referring to the California kid that the gun supposedly fell out of his backpack, went off, shot two other kids. Two other teenagers then lied about it. They were arrested too. So it wasn't like the Jared episode in Arizona, which still shows itself more and more to be bizarre and beyond just a kid with freakish behavior and emotion. Much more than that, clearly the sinister evil aspects there, but let's go beyond that. Let's come back to Ray Kurzweil. Let's come back to the singularity is near. Now, if you don't understand that, and I had to take some time to take a look, I'm going to just give what one person put out is, God and the singularity. And I'm going to quote here about what Ray Kurzweil lays out as some challenging ideas concerning the singularity. That is, when evolution, listen, I'm going to quote now, quote, evolution moves towards greater complexity, greater elegance, greater knowledge, greater intelligence, greater beauty, greater creativity, and greater levels of subtle attributes such as love. You ever wonder who's behind evolution, if it's really there as they describe it? Is there a presence behind it? Is there a code within it? Is there an intelligence that's leading? See, most individuals that are into, the evolution of knowledge, the evolution of the universe, the evolution of humanity, at least they're looking in terms that it means we're moving to something better, instead of the evolution towards something worse, though they have not yet read the book of Revelation. When billions die in less than 3.5 years. You see, sucking God out of the equation of knowledge of what's happening in the world, of reality, leaves a person spinning tops in a sandbox, where it's claimed that the sandbox is all there is, and that we can dig holes and we can pile the sand, that we can move it, that we can look at it, that we can feel it, that we can get it on our hands, that we can do all kinds of stuff with it. Never realizing how small our little brilliant view of the universe really is. So Kurzweil goes on to say this: of course, even the accelerating growth of evolution never achieves a finite level. But as it explodes exponentially, it certainly moves rapidly in that direction. Did you hear what it says? That the evolution of knowledge, the evolution of everything, though it never really quite reaches an infinite level, it's moving rapidly in that direction. Once again, this reveals that those who consider themselves brilliant, those who consider folks like this brilliant, do not have the have a concept of the infinity of God down. You're dealing with finite information, no matter how much it has developed, grown, evolved, in comparison. Now, when I say Yahweh, the self-existent one, self-sustaining one, God doesn't have to plug in anywhere like an electric car. Doesn't need to get charged. And what would he plug into? It would have to be something, a source bigger than himself. We're talking about the self-sustaining, always existent one. And what is wrong with that? Well, the folks that were building the Tower of Babel, some and most commentators will say that it was based on pride. I think it was based on much more than just pride. It had at its foundation, again, God out of the equation, so man must build what he can build, do what he can do, and construct what he can construct, all outside the will of God. What if you live your life, Ray Kurzweil, and if you're 60 now or older, you get to be 70 or 80, you're taking all the vitamins and all the pills and all the shots and the nanobots are working, and you really do discover that all of your life you lived outside the will of God, God's plan for you, God's purpose for you. Nothing wrong with creating and inventing a machine or even a pill that does bring healing to somebody. But that's not the issue here. The issue is the quest to beat death, the quest to defy death, the quest to live long enough to get to the singularity. Can I ask you something? You ever think you're going to live long enough? Do you ever just really sit down and think about the issue of death, dying? What happens? Where do you go? See, billions worldwide are engaged. I mean, even psychologists tell us that we don't like to think about death. It's one of the main topics that people do not like to talk about. When's the last time, even on an elevator, at a Starbucks or anywhere else, where you just sat around and discussed the details of death? What if you're 5 minutes away from dying? What if somebody held a gun to your head right now and said, in 10 seconds, count it down, I'm going to pull the trigger. I'm going to blow your head completely off. And they really meant it, and you're standing there, and the countdown, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Now, you're thinking just of the numbers? Or you're thinking about what in those first 7 seconds? Your life, your kids, your parents, your spouse. What are you thinking about? What's going to happen to you? How can we live this life? How can we live in the significance of life, procreating, bringing children to the world, doing things, having a history, only only to, at the end of all of it, we're dead, man. We're dead. It ends. And down the road, everybody forgets about you. Basically. An absence. See, when my father died, I called out to California where he was, and they said that he was going to be cremated. It was in his will. They'd already shipped him off to the little place where they do that. I called them instantly and said, please, hold on a day. I'm going to fly out there. My brother's going to fly. So we all get there, and we go to this. Actually, it's a waiting room with a desk. And they take us into a room, and my dad's wheeled in on a gurney, or one of those wheeled, I guess that's what you call it. And the sheet is pulled back, just like, kind of like in the movies in a way, and I am looking at my dad. Looks good, about 70 years old, looks good. Still has mainly brown hair, a little bit of gray, but mainly brown, 70 years old. And he's probably about 160 pounds. Yeah, he looks older. See, when I was a kid, I was able, as a 5- and 6-year-old, to reach up, and he would make like muscle man, you know, with his arms, and I'd reach up and hold on. My brother would hold on to one. I'd hold on. We'd hold on to his muscles, and he would lift us up. We thought he was a giant. So my older brother, I'm in the middle, then my little brother, we're all there. And we're all standing there, totally silent, looking at our dead dad. Emotions came in that one by one, we were each kind of blown away. When all of the flood and all of the weight of the fact of our dad. I mean, there's things he did. There's stuff. He took off. He left at one point. It was a mess. Mom left dad. Dad left everyone. I know what it is to be even abandoned as a teenager. But there was something that I had that gave me great, sustained me. So I'm not going to go... Well, God. See, in being the first one in my family that came to know God, it was the quest to reach out to the rest of my family and get all of them saved. 23 years reaching out to my dad, who in a way like Richard Dawkins, just at times so hard, and in another way arrogant, another way just mean when it came to that subject. Even when he had an air tank and knew that he had 6-7 months left. His concept, well, I made a deal with the big man upstairs. Yeah, what's the deal? Ray Kurzweil, what's the deal? All the vitamins, the nanobots, green tea, and you want to be able to live 20 more years, and so you reach 80, 85 years old, and the singularity all of a sudden comes about, and they come up with the eye pill. You know, they come up with the eye pill. The evolution of knowledge has reached to the point where they give you the pill and you live on. This is beyond Reanimator. This is beyond Night of the Living Dead. This is beyond all those kind of shows. And all of a sudden you live again. And so in this world, you're living forever. Really? In New York City? What about the Middle East? I mean, if you could live forever, where in the world would you want to live? And who gets to live forever? Who gets the pill? What pharmaceutical company gets to make, produce, and give out the pill? And will it come under socialism? Will the government give everybody the pill? Does everybody get the eye pill, the immortality pill? Or because of the fact that there's over, what, 6 billion people, that if everybody got the eye pill, millions wouldn't die today worldwide, and those millions would live on. Millions more would be born. Everybody's getting the eye pill. The earth is already, we're already told by scientists and futurists and the Georgia Guidestone folks and many of those in occult-laden ideology. There's too many people on the earth. I mean, environmentalists, too many people on the earth. Got to get rid of a few billion. Earth can't sustain, as they're telling us, 6, 8, 10, 12 billion. So the eye pill could present a problem. We're all going to live here on the earth. Well, what about getting shot? What about getting run over? What about an underwear bomber exploding on a plane? What about China invading the United States? What about Russia getting mad and backing Iran, and Iran nukes Israel, and Israel nukes Iran, and it all explodes there, and the crazy guy in North Korea, you know, he wants to jump in, so he starts shooting his missiles everywhere. And the little fella down there in Venezuela, it's too big. The complexity of the fall of the human race, sin's issue, the coming of death, sin of mankind, war, rumor of war, all that's going on around us, it's too much for Ray Kurzweil to bring an answer to. Ray Kurzweil, in many different ways, and as I read, there's a lot of arrogance concerning his belief. Taking salvation out of the hand of God, it involves the denial of sin, the equation of sin. It denies the reality of a dark side, Satan's spiritual dark presence, and what's really happening. See, when we talk about the singularity is near, it is just as much as a distraction as the dark, spiritual, but yet masqueraded development of globalism leaving God out of the equation and leaving the prophetic revelation of God out of the equation. God has given us a heads up. He tells us what fallen man will do regardless of the knowledge, science, and the futuristic quest of any one inventor. So, when I've been working on things today in the midst of stuff, I think of Ray Kurzweil. I think of Stephen Hawking in that chair. I think of dead Einstein and really why I was even reading today. Dawkins comes to mind. Others do. I read a book years ago called The Physics of Immortality. Mathematician in the area of physics has equated that immortality is a reality and that everybody will live forever. And in the introduction to his book, he describes that the physicists and mathematicians are now beyond the theologians, and they will be the perpetrators of immortality. Is it a mathematical equation? Is it the evolution of knowledge to the point of an eye pill? A nanobot? Could it be the spiritual? Now listen, from the dark side comes the promise of a spiritual evolution to godhood that involves the elimination of death. Please understand, I can understand why the dark side wants to attack death. I can understand why there are those that run from death and don't want to die. Do you remember 9/11? Do you remember watching on television? Do you remember seeing the movies and the clips afterwards? When the towers were coming down, what were the people doing? Other than the brave ones sent in to save lives, the overwhelming majority of people, they're all running from the collapsing building. They've got fear on their face. They've got that black, that soot around their nose and mouth. They're running across the bridge. They're looking over their shoulder, and there's fear, and they're all escaping death. I mean, the ones that jumped out of the windows way up there because they didn't want to be just literally burned to a crisp. Jumping was less painful, I guess. I wonder what they thought on the way down. Because shortly, less than 10 seconds, they're dead. Your physical body is destructible. There's a body that is indestructible. Did you know about that? There is something coming. I mean, listen, in the attributes of God, there's immeasurability. Kurzweil cannot, not even in the evolution of knowledge, equate you cannot measure God. You cannot equate, calculate the infinity of God. In the attributes of God, there's even this moment where you step back and you realize that one of the attributes of God is incomprehensibility. You can't comprehend the depth. You can't comprehend how big, how wide, how deep, how long, how... You can't. God's bigger than the universe. The universe is like grains of sand in his hand. I'm just saying in a simple way, do you understand how big God is? And without knowing him, you can't put him into the equation. So if God has been pushed out of Ray Kurzweil's life, and he, in all the reading I have, in his books, in the articles, there's not a confession. There's not an acknowledgement. There is no testimony that he knows God. Same with Stephen Hawking and others. And so they're out on a road without the knowledge of the Creator and the Redeemer pulsating through heart, mind, emotion, and thought. If you're a believer listening right now, let me tell you something. You are far more advanced than Ray Kurzweil in your understanding. And this is why it brings you peace. When you read in the book of Colossians that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. How do you escape death? Fix the gene issue, the death code, the death gene. Fix it. How do you fix it? And once you do, can you fix the sin issue? Can you work with a nanobot? Can you get an eye pill to make people good all the time and never sin, never shoot anybody, never rape anybody, never steal from us? Bank people don't steal from us. You know, politicians don't lie to us. Crazy world leaders don't, you know, kill and purge hundreds of millions of their people in war. Future war. And so how does all of this prepare somebody for the end? How does this prepare anybody for... Now, listen, here's what's sad about all of it. What if Kurzweil dies before he ever reaches his singularity? I mean, 250 supplements, 8 to 10 glasses of alkaline water, and 10 cups of green tea every day. The nanobots, well, they're not really operative yet. Let me read a little bit more out of some of the articles to get you an understanding. Because we're talking about the influence of the film coming out, The Transcendent Man. And people already asked me, you know, wanting to see it. I've seen the trailers. And you got to understand that this is going to become big, bigger than it is even now. Transhumanism. Well, there's billions of dollars to be made. Here's a quote, during a recent interview in his company offices, Kurzweil sipped green tea and spoke of humanity's coming immortality as if it as good as done. That's why I'm telling you right now that there are those, not just Kurzweil, but those who believe and those who are with him on the subject, that humanity's coming immortality, it's as good as done. Let me ask you something. If you could be given an eye pill, a chill pill, an immortality pill, would you want God? If there was a pill to fix the sin nature issue inside, why we do wrong and evil, if there was something we could do to get rid of Satan... Let's say this. Kurzweil comes up with the ideas. The scientists build and construct the knowledge, a science, a technology, a whole man transcends in the new Tower of Babel. We take care of Satan and defeat him. We take care of death and defeat it. We take care of sin and defeat it. And the evolution of humanity's spiritual development into like glowing God beings. I wonder whether or not at the core of all of this is the pulsating force of the sin nature, the operative presence of a fallen cherub that has wanted nothing more in all these thousands of years here in the fallen world than to eliminate God and take his seat. And a finite cherub then to supply, what do you supply? Is listen, to the Luciferian, to the chosen ones, to the Satanist, to those embracing the depths of occultism, New Agers that believe somehow a singularity of spiritual evolution will come about and a transformation of human consciousness, and you're going to become Homo Lumos or Homo Deity. The basis for that? I don't know. The spiritual presence, the intelligent design behind that, what is that? Kurzweil believes that the coming immortality of man is as good as already done by the evolution of scientific and technological knowledge. It is strange to me that out of this equation, the book of Daniel 2,600 years ago prophesies accurately how mankind, in the end of days, will literally strut about, rove around. They will go everywhere in this development of the increase of knowledge. The increase of knowledge to save humanity, to save the economic system, to save the political system, to save the dying man. Kurzweil's quote, here it is, quote, in my view, this is what Ray Kurzweil says, we are not another animal subject to nature's whim. In other words, dying is nature's whim. No concept of, in the beginning, God said, don't do it, in dying, that's the Hebrew, in dying you will die. The wages of sin is death. Jesus' death on the cross, as one book author titled his book, The Death of Death and the Death of Christ, Kupler. The death of death and the death of Christ. Not a chill pill, not an eye pill, not a futurist striving for nanobots sipping green tea, but the infinite God now in human flesh, coming to conquer what it is Kurzweil is running away from. Some of you may be running away from it too. If you die right now, where do you go? Can you save yourself? Can you, by your knowledge, by your even alternative spirituality, how about some candles? How about some crystals? What about channeling? Can you escape physical and then eternal death? Have you heard the wages of sin is death? But the gift of God, omnion zoe, eternal life. Have you not heard, have you not seen? 1 Corinthians 15. The overwhelming majesty of the revelation. The astounding revelation. In the twinkling of an eye. Listen, a mystery has been unveiled in this fallen world by God, by one who does not learn from others, by the omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. Listen, God's not evolving. Once again, those who say that God is evolving, God is learning, I don't believe they know God. Don't we understand that God doesn't learn from anybody? There's no one higher than him. Omniscience means he knows all the contingencies, all the calculations, all of what could not. The good news, God is good. God plans redemption. God reaches back in. God deals with what it is that brought us to this point. Sin opens the door. You ever read Romans chapter 5? Come on, theologians, reread Romans chapter 5. Specifically verse 12 on down. For one by one man's sin, death enters the world. It is considered an intrusion. It is considered an abnormality. Death enters the world, and death spreads to all humanity. It says, because all have sinned. I think, again, the word of God stands clear. The wages of sin is death. I think if you read again Hebrews chapter 2, that there is a dark side that brings kind of a spiritual, psychological, mental, emotional fear of death. Kurzweil doesn't know about Satan. Kurzweil doesn't know about the depth of maybe his own sin. Maybe he thinks by the evolution of knowledge, he can surpass it. He can get out of it. He can get away from it. Ray, you're lost. You're a sinner. You're separated from God. It doesn't make any difference if I say this to Stephen Hawking, to Richard Dawkins, or Einstein for that matter. It doesn't make any difference how much you know about the physical universe. You're in a very small sandbox with in light of the infinity of God, in light of all knowledge, in light of everything, you're in a very small sandbox. Very small, very few tools. Now, there are some kids in the sandbox, all they have is their hands, and they can do a few things. There are some kids sitting there. There are some kids sitting there crying. There are some kids building. There are some kids that have the bucket, pack it with sand, and build a little tower. There are others that dig a hole. There's some that kick the sand. You and I, we're all in the sandbox. Here's where the blood and guts of life, here's where we live and die. Here's where Kurzweil has no way of giving you significance. Stephen Hawking has no way, and Einstein had no way, though brilliant in some scientific area. I'm glad for those who learned in this development of knowledge how to build a car. I like trucks. I like a Harley Fat Boy. Don't have one right now. If I did, boy, I'd ride it. I'd ride it. I used to ride even in February if it got to 45 degrees. I love the sound. Isn't that strange? But it was no problem. When it came to my daughter's teeth, braces, and the significance of her life, selling the motorcycle was a no-brainer. Seeing her pretty smile today, been many, many, many years since I've even sat on that big old street cruiser. Who knows? Maybe again. Kurzweil says we're not just another animal. Well, Ray, you're right about that part of it. Now, you've got other bioethic professor like Sherwin Nuland, Yale University School of Medicine, where they call Kurzweil a genius. But now listen to this. Maybe true of you and I, or you, or me. Well, I don't think me. I know where I'm at. Here's what he says, quote, but talking about Ray Kurzweil and the man that believes and is promoting and telling the world that immortality is just 20 years away and it's all about the development of knowledge and science and technology. And you could be sure towards the end more of this is going to come about. Save the earth concepts, it's all going to come about. But there's something missing in the equation. You know, it's like if you're going to build an engine, like if I was to go out and pull out the engine of a Ford truck, take it all apart. I could take it apart. I wouldn't know how to put it all back together, probably. But what if you took it all apart, had it all laying around there in the garage, go back the next day to put it all back together. Somebody came in and took a whole bunch of pieces away. You don't need the camshaft. You don't need pistons. Somebody takes transmission away. Are you really going to be able, with those limited pieces, put it all together and get the truck running? It's very much like those in this quest of the evolution of knowledge, the evolving universe. We're going to talk about that Thursday night concerning Michael Dodd and a counterfeit gospel in the godlike developing universe. Sad. Or the spiritual quest of the evolution of man. The fallen cherub's promise that has never been fulfilled. What about when so many of the central elements are missing? Well, this Sherwin Newland, professor at Yale, says Kurzweil's a genius. I don't, you see, again, in my thinking, he's not a genius. I can't understand someone that would consider themselves genius, but not know God. Not be able to feel God. Feel the Spirit of God in their life. Know the forgiveness of God. Know the brilliance of God. Know that God is infinitely bigger, but intimately personal. Would not understand the physics of God in human flesh, let alone the reason for it. See, I don't know if you're listening right now and God is not in the equation of your life. For Luciferian Satanists and others, it might be because you're battling against God and you know it. Though you know that your demons fear and tremble at the name of Jesus Christ, if you could say intellectuals and scientists and geniuses, it's hard in my mind to think a person's a genius when they don't know God. It's not about the sequence of information packed in a head, but what's in the heart. And if pride is there, if self-sustaining pride, which involves keeping God out of our own little city, our little heart, and that we're going to do all of ourselves. We're going to build the Tower of Babel. We're going to build a salvation. We're going to build immortality. We're going to build it all ourselves. We're going to save the earth. We're going to do all of it ourselves. Satan's going to feed that deeply in the end of days. He is doing it. Here's a sad, listen to this bioethics professor at Yale, what he says about Kurzweil. I quote, referring to Ray Kurzweil, this professor says, Ray is a product of a narcissistic age. When brilliant people are becoming obsessed with their longevity, they have forgotten they are acting on the basic biological fear of death and extinction. And it distorts their rational approach to the human condition, Newland said. Can I read it again? Because maybe you're listening and you say, well, I don't need God. I don't need Christ. I've got a crystal ball. I got a channel that spoke to me. I got a psychic that told me about my life. Maybe you're a Luciferian. You say, well, I've got the fallen cherub. He's coming to power soon. What about the scientists, the so-called geniuses out there? Bioethics professor, Yale University, Sherwin Newland says, quote, they've forgotten they are acting on the basic biological fear of death and extinction. And it distorts their rational approach to the human condition. Have you not read the book of Hebrews, Ray Kurzweil? Have you not read concerning God's attacking the issue of death and extinction? The issue of eternal separation, eternal death. Did you know, Ray Kurzweil, the Word of God speaks of a second death? Let me say to the Luciferian, to the Satanist, let me say to the agnostic and to the atheist, let me say to the transhumanist that actually believes that science in 20 years or less will give us an eye pill, a chill pill, an immortal pill. You still won't know God. And even though you've taken God out of the equation, he hasn't gone anywhere. As a matter of fact, if you're listening to this, the Spirit of God pursues you. The living Christ summons you and calls you home. God, in his infinite being, presence, and attributes, well, you haven't realized yet that one of the greatest attributes of God is relational. Infinite God became, came into human flesh. Now, you need to study it, really do. John's Gospel, chapter 1, Logos, the reason for all that exists, that presence of eternal God became flesh and dwelt among us for a while. Now, that's the physics of God. Study that. You know, think through that. Be an Einstein. I mean, think through the incarnation, God in human flesh, and what he did. Why did he go to the cross? Why did he die there? Why was he buried? The proclamation of the resurrection. I mean, nobody else has said it, Ray. Listen, Ray. Rayites. I am the resurrection and the life. If a man believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Only Jesus spoke those words. Only he commanded. Physics are involved. They're just so far beyond us. Maybe sitting down with God, I don't think there's any problem saying, how does this work? Could you explain to a two-year-old how an F-150 motor works? Could you explain to a two-year-old how the new 1500cc engine on that Harley Fat Boy, how it all works? Could they get up on it and ride it? Could they eat a steak? Not a two-year-old. Well, we don't understand in our genius and self-described brilliance in comparison to God. If we understand the depth of God, we are in diapers, thumb in mouth, sitting in the sandbox, waiting for somebody to feed us. Let me read this to you, okay? This is very vital out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Maybe you've never heard this. Verse 14, since the children have flesh and blood, referring to God now, Christ, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. I think the professor from Yale is correct. I think his equation of the pursuit of destroying death, whether scientist, futurist, whether inventor or geneticist, or whether deep occultist, conquering death, there's one who's already done that. Personally, purposely, blasted forever the finality of death. Here's again what the Yale professor says. They're acting on the basic biological fear of death and extinction. It distorts their rational approach. Hebrews 2:14, my friend, and 15, Jesus Christ. We've come to the end of the hour. The music is here, and I'd love to say more to you other than this. God loves you. Christ is here right now. Turn to him. Receive the gift of eternal life, immortality. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Hey, remember us in prayer and in support. Good night.